Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city that lies.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are going to have a great program for you today. We are going to bring on Karen Panzer Lamb, and she lives in Lakeland, Florida. And she'll be giving us an update on the situation there with the abandoned Without Walls Church, owned by Paula White Ministries. So we'll be talking about that, and we'll be bringing on our brother Vincent E. Brown from Blog Talk Radio's program Black by Color Only. And so you're going to enjoy our guest today. You'll be blessed. So stay tuned for the hour. And we want to also make you aware of the fact that we do have a YouTube channel, and we had a milestone this week of 1 million hits on our YouTube channel, so we're very, very thankful that people have looked at the videos. And the YouTube channel is Jonah T48, that's T for Tom 48. And we have a second channel called Prophetic News TV. That one doesn't have as many videos, just basically getting started with that one. So, also, we have a website, propheticnews.com, that you can check out. And there's hundreds of articles on there. So, you can have a great time reading and studying. And those articles will really help you. I've been blessed in my walk with the Lord now for over 30 years with so many wonderful brothers and sisters who have helped me with their writings and their teachings. And, of course, we want to thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Bible, our guidebook for life. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring my guests on. Hi, Karen. How are you doing today?
Hi, Susan. I'm doing very well, thank you.
And I'm going to bring on Vincent. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, Susan. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing? So I'm so glad you both came on and joined me here for the hour. Karen Panzer Lamb is a resident of Lakeland, Florida, and she's been a resident there for about 40 years. And Karen, for people that don't know, I know you have a website, The Liberty Advocate, but we talk a lot about this situation in Lakeland, and I know you would love to see that property become a Bible school, but of course, you have a little history with Bible schools. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners again a little background about your family?
Okay, Susan. My father was an Assemblies of God minister, and he pastored many churches, some in Ohio, and then about one here in Florida. The reason he didn't pastor more in Florida is he was a professor at Southeastern College in Lakeland, which is an Assemblies of God college. It was Southeastern Bible College when he first started working there in the 1960s, and he was there for over 25 years. And that is where I attended school. I attended Southeastern College, also attended Evangel College of the Assemblies of God in Springfield, Missouri. I'm a professional student, more or less. I do love learning, especially love learning about the Bible. I also attended the University of South Florida and Regent University. So I have a history of learning, and I've been in public education for many years, so I have a history of teaching as well. But my dad worked at Southeastern from the 60s to about the mid-80s, and it was a wonderful school at that time. It was a very spirit-filled school, and I really got a good, not just education, but a good spiritual education as well.
Yeah. And your father was also the dean, wasn't he?
He started out as a speech teacher, then he became the dean, and then he became the assistant to the president when Dr. Homer was there.
Yeah. So you have a special place in your heart, I know, for Bible schools.
Yes,
and Karen is also an attorney. She's not a practicing attorney currently, but she does have a law degree. And so also Vincent, now I just met this brother last week, and I was able to join him on his program on Blog Talk Radio, Black by Color Only. And Vincent, how did you come up with that title?
Well, it's I don't know if you all remember the Million Man March in 1995.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had been born again for some time. Then I have been born again since 1986. And one of the things that gets my goat a lot is how black folks think you're all supposed to think alike and everything and stuff like that. And one of the people that I usually had run-ins with at that time a lot, and they didn't like me, were the black Muslims. And, you know, and I would let people know that just because I'm black, I'm not going to think along your way of thinking. So, you know, they had the black by the Million Man March, and which incidentally happened on my birthday, October the 16th, 1995, my 27th
Uh-oh.
Birthday.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, people were, you know, writing, they were writing editorials in the paper here in Durham about, oh, it was such a good time, you know, the black people can feel proud and everything. So I wanted to put my two cents in it and everything. And I said, yeah, it was a lot of pride, but it wasn't, you know, godly, you know. And I said, you know, just because this man is black doesn't mean I'm going to hold to his ideas. So a couple of people, they responded, and one guy said, well, apparently, I guess Vincent is black, but apparently by color only. And I said, you know what, that would be a great name for a program or something like that. And I said, you know, and it just stuck to me. And it was several years before, you know, because back then the internet was really just starting to get rolling and everything. But a couple of years ago, I got onto YouTube and named my channel VibroTube, but the program on it is called Black by Color Only. And then one of my friends she said she was on Blog Talk Radio. And I was like, Blog Talk Radio? And so in 2009, I got onto Blog Talk Radio, and I was like, okay, well, this is a better place for me to vent than YouTube, because on YouTube, at that time, you can only do it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But on Blog Talk Radio, you can do it for 2-3 hours. And
yeah.
I was like, and see, I like to talk, so.
You got plenty of venting time.
Yeah, a lot of venting time. And I was like, oh, wow. And so, you know, when I got on here, of course, you all see the call sign is WVEB, but really the name of the program is Black by Color Only. And I say that just to let people know that just because I'm black, I am I'm a free-thinking black person. I want people to know that. I'm a free-thinking black person, and I don't go to certain ideals. I only gravitate towards the truth.
Yeah. You know, we've been following this story, Vincent, I'm sure you're aware of it, and Karen, she lives right there in Lakeland where the Without Walls church was located. It's no longer a functioning church there, but she's been out to the property several times, and she's taken many photographs, but she was out there this week. Now, I first became aware that something was going on with the property when I discovered that the phone had been disconnected sometime after Christmas. And then Karen went out there, and she found a sign on the church building that said that this property must be vacated it was unsafe. And we came to find out that the electricity had been turned off in this building. And a little history about this building there. This church was built in about 1982. They broke ground for this church, and it's a 10,000-seat church there. It's 67,000 square feet of building space. It's quite a massive building. And there's also on this property an old retirement home for carpenters. It was used as a Christian school, but Without Walls owned 65 acres there with the church building and this historic building. Now, this historic building that's also on the property once housed 400 retired carpenters. So it's a massive building. And these buildings now have been left abandoned and vacated because they could not pay their electric bill. Now, this is part of Paula White Ministries. The building is currently for sale for $15 million, the two buildings and the 65 acres. At one time, there was 2,000 acres when the Carpenter's Home was first built in the 1920s. It sat on 2,000 acres, and there's a cemetery there, and where there's over 800 of these retired carpenters are buried. But anyway, Karen had been out there several times, and she was there again this week. Now, we had notified the church. I called them as soon as I found out that the buildings were being vandalized. I called to the church in Tampa to let them know. Now, all this time has gone by, and Karen, what did you find when you were out there this week there on the property?
Well, sadly, Susan, no one has done anything. Even after you called, even after Bay News 9 did a story on it, even after it was in the Lakeland Ledger, Paula White Ministries has not really done much to secure the building. About the only thing I can say I noticed different was one of the doors that had been wide open, they had tried to wire it shut. But that was kind of fruitless because the windows are still open. They've cut through the black plastic that covered the windows. They still have access to the building. They didn't board up any of the windows. They didn't really make a wholehearted effort to secure the building and keep people out.
Yeah. So this is the testimony of a prosperity teacher who claims that God, she broke the back of poverty with a $200 seed to Mike Murdoch Ministries. And
oh, gosh.
Yeah. And this is how they left these buildings. They can't even afford a security guard. The building is still being vandalized. So has the church building been vandalized. They've actually broken the glass out. We have pictures of it. They broke the glass out of the doors, some of the doors in the church building, and they started to vandalize that. So this is really an amazing story. And also what I find interesting about it is that Paula White claims that T.D. Jakes is her spiritual daddy. And Mike Murdoch and all these people are her friends. And I want to know, you know, TBN, all these people, like, where are they? They haven't helped this situation over there. They're letting this building just sit there and be vandalized, and nobody's doing anything. They can't even afford to put proper locks on the doors or get the burglar system, alarm system to work. The doors are open to the old historic building, and it continues to be vandalized, and it's also flooded, I understand. The reporter from the television station said that it looked like it was flooded. So, and people, you can see that people have cut some of the copper wiring on the outside. So I guess the copper thieves have been there. Now, Vincent, what do you think about this?
Well, I think Mike Murdoch should get together with T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar and all the rest of the big names and have them to sow a $1,000 uncommon seed to buy that property. I mean, that's what he needs to do. I mean, he does it with everybody else. I mean, these people compliment each other on TV and everything, and they talk about, oh, this is a great thing and whatever. But now the church is abandoned. Nobody has said anything about, let's try to save this church. $15 million property. And the thing that gets me is it seems like Paula White has just left it in casual abandon. It's like, okay, well, you know, we'll just leave that behind. We'll just leave that in the past. But I'm a pastor this church in Apopka now, you know. So I'm just going to leave this, you know.
They're having a Super Bowl party over there. And they're going to bring in TV screens. They're going to bring in big screen TVs. And they're going to have a barbecue. And I'm like, and the building over there in Lakeland is abandoned and being vandalized.
Wow.
Well, you know, Susan, I've had several people email me saying, well, I've heard T.D. Jakes is going to buy the building. Now, they can't tell me where they've heard this. They don't remember. But I've had people from all over the country say, and I just got one this morning, I heard T.D. Jakes is going to buy the building. And I said, well, I think if he was going to buy it, he would have done it by now.
Yeah,
you
and
know.
If he was going to buy it, you think he could put some windows in over
there?
Right.
Yeah. I think it would have been done by now.
How much does a window cost?
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard that or if Vincent's heard that, but that's what I've heard, and that's what these people have heard.
I haven't heard a thing.
Okay.
Well, I've heard that, but I don't think if it was true, I'm sure that if someone was planning to buy a $15 million piece of property, especially with this historic building, that they would get over there and get some locks on the doors and get the windows fixed. Mm-hmm. And who knows what's living in there. Karen said it already had a foul odor that she could smell.
Right.
So who knows what's going on. It kind of reminds me of some pictures that I had looked at on the internet of the old PTL ministry that was once owned by Jim and Tammy Baker. You know, they built this multi-million dollar, many millions of dollars of buildings and attractions and hotels and whatever. And now almost all those buildings also have been vandalized and they're run down, falling down. David Wilkerson had given a prophecy even before PTL fell that one day bats would fly through the buildings.
Wow.
And I found it very strange that the man that was there taking the photographs made the comment that there was so much bat, so many bats flying around in the building, and the bats had left their residue. and that prophecy came to mind that David Wilkerson gave of the bats flying through the building one day because of the false gospel that was being preached there at that time. So, and it's the same thing with these prosperity teachers. They always make a big deal on TV about sowing seeds to each other and how they bless each other and they're patting each other on the back, and then when they're having troubles, nobody's there to help them.
Mm-hmm.
If that's supposed to be your spiritual daddy, T.D. Jakes, then he's a pretty pitiful father.
Yeah.
Well, Susan, I wonder if anyone ever prophesied that without Wall Center in Lakeland would one day be a dog park.
Yeah, that's another amazing thing is that Karen brought that out, and even the few times that she had gone out there, people were walking their dogs. So, and they were actually, I guess, bringing their dogs in their cars and leaving the dog residue around the property now. So it's become a dog park. Well, nobody's there, so we just bring our dog out there. And then we don't have to clean up after the dog. So that's how they look at it. It's really an amazing thing. This whole story, I can't stop thinking about it and talking about it because it's such a sign of the times, really, of how the false prosperity gospel has deceived people and continues to deceive people, and how people still follow these preachers and they listen to them. Vincent, now, your testimony, share a little bit about your testimony, because you had once been in the Word of Faith movement too.
Well, to be honest with you, sad to say I'm still in it, but, you know, I'm becoming more discouraged with it because, most of your full gospel churches today, they believe in the Word Faith movement. And one of the things, you know, you get born again and everything, and then they tell you you need to worship God with your money. And
yeah.
I remember when I first, about 2 years after I had gotten born again, and I was working on a job. I just moved here to Durham from Washington, D.C., and they were passing around the bucket, and they were talking about paying tithes. And I thought paying tithes was, you know, just giving an offering. And so I just reached in my pocket and pulled out $40. No one asked me to pull it out or anything. I just did it out of the goodness of my heart. And it felt so good just doing it from the goodness of my heart.
Yeah.
But then not long after that, you know, the tithe teaching finally caught up with me and everything. And I was like, you know, every time you go to church, you know, you get your paycheck, you got to pay your tithe, and not from the net, but from the gross and everything, because they told that, you know, they use some scripture in Proverbs saying, you know, the first fruit, you know, and everything.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so they said, you know, you got to pay your gross and not your net and everything. And so, you know, I'm going through it and everything. Every now and then well, let me just say this. I'm getting all tied up in my words. One thing that used to get me was at the beginning of every year, they would try to coax you into paying a vow or a pledge.
Yeah.
You need to pay a vow or a pledge. How many of y'all paid your vows or your pledges? Now, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where you're supposed to pay a vow or a pledge.
Right.
And that was one aspect that, you know, I didn't allow myself to get all bent out of shape about, because a lot of times when people get coaxed into paying a vow or a pledge, they do something that they're not able to pay. You know,
right.
you need to walk by faith, walk by faith.
Yeah.
Some of y'all, you could give a vow of $1,500. And people say, oh, I can give a vow of $1,500. But then when the months go by, they find out they can't pay that vow, because
right.
What most of their money is going to take care of their families. And
yeah.
The thing about that is people start feeling guilty for even taking
right.
care of their families
right.
because
right.
they haven't given their seed or their vow and everything.
Yeah.
And I for a while I was like, well, man, dog, I ain't got enough for a vow. I don't have for a pledge.
Yeah,
I want to do a vow
guilty.
Or a pledge.
Yeah.
And you feel guilty. And let me tell you, when you take care of your family, taking care of your family isn't just, you know, providing a roof over their head, giving them clothes, or giving them food to eat. Providing for your family is also that quality time to spend with your family. Let's say you want to go to the Wolf Lodge in Charlotte, North Carolina, you know, to spend time with your family, go to the Wolf Lodge or whatever, and you know, go to the hotel and just enjoy yourself. I consider that part of taking care of your family, too. That's
yeah.
spending quality time
yeah.
with your family. And what they would do, they would say things like, well, you know, some of y'all going on those vacations. You know, you can sow that seed to God. Some of you all, you're just going out to eat. You can sow that seed to God. Some of you all, they would say that. And, you know, deep down inside, I would feel a little, but I would still feel guilty about, you know. But one thing a lot of people don't realize is it's a lot of things we could have done. A lot of things we could have, you know, we could have really enjoyed life a lot more if we didn't, you know, sow that seed. And
yeah.
so I remember one time Mike Murdoch came to our church in 2000.
Yeah.
And he left the church with $20,000.
Yeah, that's a pretty good hour's work.
And I said $20,000. That money's supposed to be in our church, not with Mike Murdoch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
over the years, I heard people talk against sowing seeds and giving tithes, and I was like, oh, they're preaching heresy. You know, that's not the word of God. But then, I'm going to tell you, thank God for YouTube. Now, I know a lot of people put up objectionable videos on YouTube and everything, but I was watching YouTube one time, and this man, he wasn't even a Christian, and he was talking about the tithes and the offerings. And, you know, he was showing the guy I talked about last week, Leroy Thompson.
Yeah.
Leroy Thompson was up there, and he was talking about, you know, we're going to take over because we're going to have all the money, you know, money coming to me now. And so the people were just running up, putting money onto the altar, or, you know, the steps to the pulpit and everything. They were just running and putting it up there and everything. And he and Creflo Dollar were just running all through it and dancing. You put some money up here? Oh, get some of this anointing. Get some of this anointing.
Oh, yeah, they were happy when they saw all that money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing.
Yeah, they got happy.
This is the thing that really opened my eyes to it.
Uh-huh.
The question came to me. Vincent, have you ever seen any of this going on in the Bible?
Yeah.
Did Jesus do any of this? When he did the Sermon on the Mount, did he say, okay, you all, you need to sow a seed to my ministry?
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I never seen anything that closely resembles this in the Bible. And that's when I started getting a little discouraged. I was like, now, this is why it's so important for us not to just take the preacher's word for everything. We need, just like the Bereans, I love the Bereans. I love talking about the Bereans in the book of Acts. When they went home, they searched the scriptures to see what was being preached, if it was true or not. And that's what we need to do. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we throw this stuff out. We keep pushing it down people's throats. Oh, you got to give. 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 And the thing that gets me a lot of times, too, is, okay, we're over here. We're sacrificing. We're sacrificing our grocery money. We're sacrificing vacation money. We're sacrificing, some of us even sacrificing bill money to give and everything. And then when things fall through, everyone is like, "Well, how come you can't pay your bills this month?
Yeah,
you know, I'm coming to you to ask for, you know, for help with the bill money, and you're like, well, how come you're not being a good steward over God's money?
Yeah."
Well, I've been giving my tithes. I've been giving my offerings. I've been sowing seeds. I've been doing this and everything. Well, you're not being a good steward over your money. And I'm like, well, there's something here. And it's like when they have a need, they come up with, you know, you need to sow a seed to this and God will bless you and all that and everything. I was just it was kind of funny, too, because yesterday I was on YouTube and I found another channel called Jailhouse Productions, and Jail is spelled J-A-E-L. It's the name of a woman in the book of Judges. And this young lady, she was up there, and she was talking about, she was at a Juanita Bynum conference, and Juanita Bynum was another good one. she was talking about, she was at a Juanita Bynum, and Juanita Bynum, you know, she had already taken up the offering and everything. So she gets up there talking about, you know, she wanted to have a spa and that, you know, this was going to be a spa for Christians and everything. And she took up an offering for the spa.
Oh,
I said, you got to.
I'd like to have a spa myself.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, this is what the lady said. She said, first of all, a lot of the people who were at that conference, they weren't even from the area where Juanita Bynum is from. They're from out of town. And two, you know, for you to enjoy it, you know, you have to, you know, spend gas, drive there and everything, yada, yada, yada. And guess what? If you go in there to get a membership, you're going to have to pay more money. So I'm like, wait a minute. I said, what?
They got a good gig going. Boy, they got it going on.
And they dress it up. Oh, if you just sow your seed, God will bless you. And, you know, and Juanita Bynum was the same lady that said, you know, when you go to a conference and you register, don't use Bic pens because Bic pens are pens. That's the
Don't use the big pen.
And she said she paid as much as $5,000 for a pen.
Yeah.
Because she uses that to cross off her $1 million transactions. I said, oh, you got to be kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, Juanita Bynum's way out there because, as a matter of fact, she was on the bill recently. Somebody, a preacher, called George Bloomer.
Oh, yeah. George Bloomer's from Durham. He's from here in Durham.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm familiar with George Bloomer, a little short guy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, George Bloomer recently, I don't really think George Bloomer saved himself because he recently had a conference at his church, a prophetic conference, and if anybody wants to go on the internet, they can pull up the flyer for this conference. And one of the speakers, two of the speakers there actually, are two people that I know definitely aren't saved and they aren't serving God. Bernard Jordan.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, his son Manasseh. They were both speakers at this conference that George Bloomer put on. So George Bloomer's way out there. I think he lost his mind. Actually, he gave a testimony. I saw him a few months ago on TBN. He gave a testimony about how he was shooting up Prozac in his toe. Now, this is just recently that he was doing this.
Hmm.
And he said he had a nervous breakdown.
Oh,
well,
my.
Yeah. But I don't think he's recovered because if you have recovered and you are really born again, you don't invite Bernard Jordan, who says he's God. He actually, if you want to go on YouTube and look at some of his videos, you can't look at them too long because they're very creepy. But he actually says that he's God. And you don't invite these people to come to your church and be a part of your prophetic conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey, people like that. Steve Harvey is a big time. He's a big time guest speaker at a lot of these so-called conferences. You know, go to what they call it, the conference that T.D. Jakes has and everything. You know, the Woman Thou Art Loose and everything. You'll see Steve Harvey over there with his cousin self.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they want to say that these people are ministers of the gospel. Well, the Bible says that in the end times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we're seeing that happen. I find it hard to believe that I'm actually seeing all this in my lifetime because we always think this is going to happen somewhere in the future. But to see the falling away happening right before your eyes, it's really something to behold because for the most part, most of Christian television has been taken over by these false prophets, and they found out that they can become very, very wealthy by getting you to sow seeds to them and to their ministries. And you see TBN, their ministry is worth probably over $1 billion.
Wow.
They're very, very rich. They don't ever need to take up another offering.
Never.
They have so much money. They just don't know what to do with it. They just built, here in Orlando, Florida, they just built a 3,000 or 4,000 seat Colosseum. It looks like the old Roman Colosseum that you'd see in Rome, and that's what this building looks like. It's their TV studio, and they have a theme park there, a biblical theme park. And so they just keep building and building. And they just need more of your money to preach the gospel. Well, I do fine. I never needed $1 million. I've never even needed $100,000 to preach the gospel. I can preach the gospel for free. I can even preach the gospel for free if I want to because God has given me a Bible. He's given me a mouth. And I can share the gospel with people. But they make you think that you have to give them all this money so that they can preach the gospel for you. They're actually doing you a favor.
Yeah. And the thing, too, one thing I get when I go to some churches and everything is their goal is to drain your pockets.
Right.
Yeah.
When you go there.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you know, we got the offering, so yada, yada, yada. We got another offering. We got this. Come on, y'all. You know you got to give. You know you want to give.
Right.
How much of my money do you need? You know, and it's almost like, you know, when you come in here, if your pockets are full of money, when you leave out of here, your pockets need to be empty.
Right.
And that's one of the things that caused me to get discouraged. And, you know, and it's just like I said earlier, you know, when your family's going through, you know, you're barely making ends meet. You're going paycheck to paycheck. You know, you don't know where your next groceries are coming. You ask people and they want to ask you all these questions. Have you been giving your tithes and your offerings? I can't bless what God has cursed. And all that foolishness. And it's like, it shouldn't be. I said, I would just love to see Jesus do someone like that. I never seen Jesus do that. Jesus never asked anybody, did you give to the temple? I'm not going to help you unless you give to the temple. I'm not going to bless you because you're cursed because you haven't given to the temple.
Yeah.
You know.
Never said that.
Never said that.
I don't know if either of you have heard, but one of our pastors one time said that that Jesus talked about more about money than anything else.
I
don't see that.
I don't see that either.
I don't either.
And if he talked about it, it was usually in a negative sense. You cannot serve God and mammon, you know, and that kind of stuff. And he talked about the rich man. But I don't know where they got that from. They probably got it from T.D. Jakes or something. And Vincent, they probably weren't a good Berean, and they didn't go to the Bible to see if that were really true, and they just repeated it.
Well, you know, it's probably true that Jesus did talk more about money, but we have to know in what capacity. Did he speak positively about it, or did he speak negative, you know?
That's right.
And we make it almost like, and they'll say things like, you know, Jesus talked more about money than he talked about going to heaven. And it's almost like, well, you getting your money is more important than your eternal life.
What they make it sound like. Your best life now, and you have a destiny, and they're so focused on all this. It's all about me now, and we've forgotten really what Christianity is. It's about loving other people, helping other people, even Jesus, when he rebuked the Pharisees because they said, oh, we tithe, look. Well, and it's interesting here, too, because they said we tithe mint and rue.
Yeah.
They weren't talking about tithing money. They were talking about tithing herbs because the money, tithe was never money. So he tells them, so what? You know, I'm paraphrasing now. Well, so what that you tithe your mint and your rue, but you don't have any love?
Mm-hmm.
You hypocrites.
And
he didn't say, well, you're nice, you know, oh, wonderful that you tithed, oh, yeah, you tithed.
I don't understand why people are not getting it. I really don't understand it, why people don't get it. When these people, they get up here and they talk about it, and you see them with their jets and their airports, you know, Kenneth Copeland, he has his own airport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, and we don't get it, and these guys keep asking for your money, but we don't. We can sit there, even though, you know, their studio, what we see of their studio is you know, conformed to the size of our TV. But even then, you could just look behind them and look and just see how extravagant it is.
Right.
And you're like, I don't need to be giving this rascal no money.
No.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm going hungry and, you know, I need a job and everything.
I'm driving a bicycle.
Guys, you know,
flying an airplane.
A scooter or something, you know. And they're talking about, if you just give for this. You know, we got, you know, like I said last week about Leroy Thompson. You know, he said the Lord blessed him with this private jet and everything. And then he wants you to help him pay for it. I'm like, well, if the Lord bless you with it, then what do you need my money for? You know, I mean, you wouldn't have to pay for anything.
He's Lord bless him, and then you have to help him pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to get some offerings, that's for sure. But it's very ironic because even if you look at Paula White on TV, and she's always got every kind of a gimmick, the first fruits offering, and then they have the Passover offering, and they have every kind of offering to tell you how God can bless you if you give them money. And meanwhile, she can't even pay her own bills. She's got a $15 million piece of property that's being vandalized and abandoned there, and it's not working.
And it's a recurring theme. It's a recurring theme among a lot of them, because if you dig into their lives and everything, you'll see a lot of them are in tremendous debt. but they always want you to sow seeds to them. They always, you know, sow a seed. This is good ground. And they take a scripture in the Bible and they twist it around to fit their own greeds and needs, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and nowhere in the Bible does it say that your seed is a money, is money. And it doesn't say and it doesn't say that good ground is a prosperous preacher. Good ground is the heart of the believer. You know, it's not no money or anything like that. You
yeah,
don't see
I
that
didn't
anywhere.
Say that. No.
Susan, back in the 70s, I remember my dad coming home from work one day when he was the dean over at Southeastern, and he was telling us about a student who had come to his office that day saying he had no money. He was attending Carl Strader's church when it was the Carpenter's Home Church, former, you know, Without Walls, who preached that you should tithe on what you would like to be making. So therefore, this young student, of course, he wanted to be making a lot of money. So he was giving him everything he had, and he had no money for food for his family. And he was really discouraged and came to my dad. So my dad did give him some money, but he did something more important than that. He counseled him in the Word of God, telling him that was a false gospel and don't listen to it anymore.
Wow,
so
wait a minute.
I hope that
young man left.
I mean, his kids were starving because of the prosperity gospel.
You're telling me the pastor told him to tithe what he wanted to be making.
Yes, yes. That was Carl Strader back in the 70s and 80s.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And he had a huge church, Vincent. He had a huge church. He started out, they had a sanctuary that was holding 1,800, and then they got up to 5,000. So that's when they built Carpenter's Home, which is now the Without Walls, which is now abandoned. But and sadly, people were believing it back then and acting on it. And that was, you know, that one man just represented who knows how many starving children there were because they were giving Carl Strader his money for his big sanctuary out there.
Mm. Well, one thing I can tell you is we all need to get ourselves a card, you know, one of those blank cards, and write it to Oral Roberts, you know, and give it to him posthumously, you know, and just say, thank you, Oral Roberts, for your little sweet thing.
Oh, yeah, because
he's the one that started this whole thing.
He started that.
Right.
You know?
Well, I got a good gig going here.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room says that seed was and is a vehicle of exchange. Well, we don't exchange money. You know, we don't pay God off for blessings. We don't have to give God money. First of all, God doesn't need any money. He doesn't have any money in heaven. That is not God's means of exchange. The means of exchange that we use as Christians is called faith. And we have faith in God to meet our needs. And the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So we don't say, here, God, here's $5 or here's $5 to the pastor or here's $5 to the ministry. So now because I'm exchanging this money, I expect to get something back. That's not even a Christian doctrine.
Well, you're trying to bribe God.
Right.
And you act like you're buying. I'm buying God's favor. I can buy his favor, just like you buy a politician.
Yeah, I mean, really. And it's like, you know, my grandmother is sick. Okay, so a $100 seed, and watch God give her out of that deathbed. Come on
now. Yeah. Right.
Please. You don't see that anywhere in the Bible.
No.
Well, they even tell you that I saw Paula White in a video on YouTube telling people that they should sow a $77 seed for the salvation of their children.
I've heard that too. And I also saw her prophesy that God had told her that he, in, what was it, year 2010, both of her properties, the one in Tampa and the one in Lakeland, would be debt-free. God told her that. He promised her that, she said.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
No.
Of course not. So what would she say today if I were to say something to her like, hey, Paula, how come you prophesied that and it didn't happen?
Yeah.
What would her answer be?
And two, about the tithe, you know, we need to understand, you know, what Malachi is talking about. Malachi, the third chapter, the 6th to 8th verse. First of all, when we see that command to tithe in the book of Malachi, we have to understand what the tithe was, first of all. And the Bible is clear about what the tithe was. The tithe wasn't money because back in the day when they started tithing and everything, they also had what is that value of money called? The shekel. they also had that, you know. And some people would say that back then they didn't have money, so they used, you know, vegetables or whatever for exchange.
Oh,
but
yeah,
that's not
sure.
True.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, that's not true. You know,
no,
tithing
no,
was never
true.
Of your money. It was always, if you were a farmer and you had crops or you had livestock, that was your tithe. Now, if you were a carpenter or something like that, you didn't have to pay a tithe because you didn't have any type of agriculture or livestock, you know. And when we look at Malachi, the third chapter, first of all, we have to look at it as, first of all, God is talking to the priests.
Right.
And
the most misquoted book in the Bible, Malachi.
Most misquoted. And we have to understand that he was talking to the priest then. And nowhere in the New Testament, no one can point out anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus tithed, where the apostles tithed, where they preached on tithing or anything like that. But one thing that they did talk about a lot was giving to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And sad to say, we cannot give to the poor because we are doing too much tithing and we are doing too much sowing of seeds.
There you go.
And
well, you never heard of Jesus taking up an offering either.
No, you never did.
No, they didn't pass around baskets.
come to think of it, he never did.
And
the sad thing about it, too, is when, you know, they take up all their offerings and everything and they say, well, you all don't like to give to the poor, you know, and everything. Well, we can't give to the poor because we're over here sowing seeds and bowels and
flesh.
Yeah,
we're giving to the rich.
Hey, we are
the
poor.
We don't have any money left over to give to the poor. I remember being in a church. I was there for 3 years, and I remember Mike Murdoch came to the church. This was back in 1994, I think. And he came, and he was there just for a morning, and he had everybody come to the front. Now, I was sitting there, and I got up and walked out in the middle of it because I couldn't take it anymore. I knew I was going to start screaming or something, so I had to get out of there because he was telling people to give $58 and to write on their check what they were believing God for. One of the things he said is if you're believing God for a husband or a wife, put that on there that you're believing God for a mate. Mm. If you're believing for healing, come up and write that on your check and come and sow your seed, your $58 seed. Well, he walked out of there with $10,000. But meanwhile, there was a family that I knew personally that lived there at the ministry on the grounds, and they were working for the ministry. It was a single father, a divorced father that was raising three children, and he didn't have a lot of money. Now, they didn't even have enough money to have a telephone in their house.
Hmm.
And meanwhile, here they were living there. The pastor and his family knew about this family. They knew of their struggles, and yet nobody was saying, let's get this family a telephone. But yet they were running up there, most of the people in the church that morning, running up there giving Mike Murdoch $58.
Right.
So it started to go off in my head that there's something wrong with this gospel. There is really something wrong with this,
mm-hmm.
that there's people sitting in this church giving of their time, giving of their money, and yet when they have a need, nobody's helping them,
mm-hmm.
and they're helping some con artist like Mike Murdoch.
Yeah.
And I realized, I mean, there's some people in the chat room saying that you need money to have a church and all that. Yeah, we know that, but you can't, if your pastor, if you're going to a church and your pastor is not preaching, telling you the truth, well, you don't really need to stay there. Why waste your time getting up in the morning? You know how long it takes to get up, get dressed, comb your hair, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, drive over to the building, and then you have to sit there and you have to listen to somebody preaching a false gospel to you.
Yeah, that's true.
It just doesn't make any sense. There is no seed sowing in the Bible as far as sowing money. That doctrine is not even in the Bible. There is no tithing of money. That's not in the Bible.
It's not in there.
It's not in there. And if ministers want to have ministries and want to have church buildings, then they have to do it by faith. Because if you don't build a ministry by faith, then it's not a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a ministry.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem with reasonable expenses for the church, you know, for church maintenance. But years ago when we went to a church, it was always one thing after the other. We need $50,000 for a new computer system so we can have PowerPoint because that's really going to bring the people in. And we need $10,000 for a drama. We need this and this and this. And at the time, I was unemployed at that time, and the pastor did not even remember I was unemployed. And one person in the church asked me, do you have enough money to live on? Now, nobody else asked me, but they were taking all this money for things, you know, like the computer and everything. And I didn't really think about it at the time. But years later, I thought, you know, only one person asked me, do you have money to live? But their expenses were, I think, unreasonable. They just more that people really couldn't afford.
That's it.
And it was just constant begging for this, and this.
Yeah,
and, of course, they said, don't you really want to help, you know, reach the lost, and you'll prosper. God's going to bless you. Just give until it hurts. You've heard that. Give until it hurts.
Oh, yeah. And it hurts.
Sometimes it
hurt.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Sometimes it took me years to dig out of my giving, my foolishness. Well, now there's somebody in the chat room saying that we tithe to God. No, we don't tithe to God. No, we don't tithe.
How does he get the money?
God doesn't need any money.
No.
What does God need money for? We don't put our money up in the air and say, here, God, here's some money. What is he going to do with money? He has no use for money. None.
Well, Susan and Vincent, what is it God really wants from us? Our money?
Our hearts.
Right.
Our lives.
Right.
And,
sacrifice, obedience.
And here's the thing, too.
Self-denial, not our money.
Yeah. Here's the thing, too. You know, you all know that Jesus is coming back this year, right? According to Creflo Dollar, he said Jesus is supposed to be coming back in 2012. And before Jesus comes back, there's supposed to be a great transference of wealth to the church.
And I
make it funny, you know, I try to put some humor to it. And I'm like, so is heaven run down and everything, and that when Jesus comes to take his church back into heaven and everything, we take all the finances with us so we can pay for the renovation of heaven.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
the great wealth transfer. They've been talking about that since I can remember.
Yeah, they talk about that, and because they say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just.
And
you know what? Be honest with you, I do believe that. I do believe the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just because the wicked don't know how to use their money. But it's not to the point of, you know, God is going to transfer the money from the wicked to the just.
And just like
Leroy Thompson was saying, you know, we're going to take over, you know, because we're going to have all the money. You know,
what does that mean? I mean, you know, sinners have all the money, but they don't know God.
Yeah.
Right.
So what does it mean if you have all the money? That's all we're supposed to be, that it's our goal in life is to have all the money and to make all the money. And I'm not against anybody taking up an offering. If they want to take up an offering, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't choose to do that. But I don't have anything against taking up an offering, but don't lie to people. Don't lie.
Right.
If you're in church on Sunday and they're taking up an offering to pay the heat bill and the electric bill and the needs of the church, there's nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
No.
Don't make it look like you're giving the money to God when you're not. You're not giving the money to God. You're giving it to a human being to use to pay his bills.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get anything in return just because you gave money.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. Don't even. That's not even Christian. That you only give because you want something. That's not even a Christian doctrine. It has nothing to do with Christianity.
No.
We give because we love people. We want to help people. And if I don't get anything back, that's fine. God knows. And if he wants to give me something, then it's up to him to give me something. But I don't do things just because I want something in return.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a Christian doctrine. It's like, wake up, church. Okay?
Is that called manipulation, Susan?
Yeah, that's what that's what it is.
Manipulation.
Yeah. And there's a scripture that says, when you give, don't give grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give because someone put a guilt trip on you.
That if you
don't sow your seeds, God is going to curse you. Or don't give because you're going to get something. You know, and like I said last week, someone told me I was had a discussion with this gentleman, and when we finished, he said, "Vincent, you know, I'm gonna pay back that $10 to you." I didn't know what he was talking about. I don't even remember giving this guy $10. And it you know, when I give to somebody, when I say here's $20, I'm not gonna count the days when you're gonna give me that $20 back.
Right.
You know, if you do give it back, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine, because I'm not giving it to get it back from you. I'm giving it to
right.
help meet a need that you have. You have an immediate need, and why in the world am I, you know, who am I going to look for my reward from anyway? Am I going to look
that's
for
it
from the person who I gave the money to,
yeah.
or am I going to look for it from God? That's how
right.
I look at it. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. Because, you know, there was a minister many, many years ago, and he, I think his name was George Mueller. I think
oh,
that
yeah.
was.
Yeah, George
yeah,
Mueller.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, he had orphanages, and this was, I think, in the 1900s, and he never asked anybody for anything to run these orphanages. And God always met his needs. When I was very strong into the prosperity message and the Word of Faith movement, I was like, well, how could he have a ministry? And he never asked, and he never let people know what he needed. How did that work? And I was trying to figure it out, because I couldn't. Everybody else was sending out appeal letters and taking up offerings, and they weren't trusting God. They weren't really trusting God to meet their needs. I couldn't figure George Mueller out. But then I decided in my life that that's the way I was going to run the ministry that I have. If I had to, even if I had to get another job to pay for it, I was going to do it.
Right.
Just to get the gospel out.
Sure.
Because I didn't want to own George Mueller. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
And I wanted to. That's how I wanted my ministry to be. Is that God knows my needs. When I ask him, he even knows my needs even before I ask him. So do I really trust God, or don't I trust God?
And George Mueller was a very powerful man of prayer. He had a very strong prayer life, you know, and God, you know, he never asked any time for any finances to take care. I mean, there was an account where he needed some flour to make some bread, and he prayed to God. You know, nobody, you know, he didn't sow a seed or anything. He just prayed to God. He said, "Lord, I need some flour." He opens up the door one day, and there's some sacks of flour right there. He don't know where it came from. So,
that's right.
You know, that's how God works. That's how God works,
and that's what faith is all about. Either
that's
we trust God. If God is telling you to start a church, and he's truly telling you to start it, then he's going to meet the needs of the church. You don't have bang people over the head and tell them that they're cursed if they don't give to you and make up some kind of a false tithing doctrine. Now I personally studied tithing and seed sowing. I took 3 months out of my life, and I did nothing else except look up every scripture on giving, look up every scripture on money, and I found out the truth that tithing was never money. We don't rob God in tithes and offerings. He wasn't talking to the people. He was talking to the priests that were robbing the food. And the tithes were brought to a storehouse, which it was a building where they stored food to feed people. It was not a place where they brought money. And you can also see in the Old Testament where the Bible talks about giving willingly, giving free will offerings, which they did in temple for building some of the temples. They took up free will offerings, and people gave it willingly, the Bible says, from their heart. So that's the way we're supposed to give. We don't rob God. He's not looking down from heaven and writing down how much did you give, $5, did you give $10. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is. Susan.
And when these when you hear these guys talk about, you know, God is going to bless you, sow your seed and everything, that's a sign right there that they're not walking by faith.
Right.
No, that's a sign right there. So one of the people in the chat room says that the church cannot function without the tithes of the congregation. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. Because if people were taught the proper way to give, and I don't hold the pastors 100% accountable, because everybody has a Bible. And as a Christian, you need to read it and find out
That's
what it really says, because they can tell you anything. And I believed all that for many, many years, the first 15 years of my Christianity. I was a faithful tither and, you know, a seed sower and the whole bit, and got myself into a big mess.
Yeah.
And, you know, God had to smack me down literally and get my attention, and he got my attention, and I found out for myself what the truth was. So I advise anybody that's listening, do it yourself. Do the study yourself.
Right.
And find out what the Bible really says, because there's somebody that says that Moses asked for an offering as an act of worship. No, I don't think so.
No, I don't remember reading that
so,
in the Bible.
Look, if you were standing, put it this way, if you were standing right before Jesus Christ himself, would you hand him a gold coin or a dollar bill? I don't think so.
No.
No. No, you would not do that.
Mm-hmm.
You would not do that. We do not worship God with money. That is false gospel.
Yeah, don't you think that would have been one of the Ten Commandments or one of the commandments in the New Testament? If it were that important to God, don't you think it would have been a commandment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they'll tell you, it does say, thou shalt not steal. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but who's
that means
stealing?
Anything. That means
right.
anything, you know.
Right.
What I mean?
Yeah, well,
right.
stealing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to thank my guests for being here today. And Vincent, tell the listeners a little bit about your program and when your program's on and when they can come and hear your program on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube.
Okay. On Blog Talk Radio, it's Black by Color only. And we're going to have our show tonight at 5:00. And basically what I talk about is morals, principles. Of course, I had to put my little Christian principles in there and everything. But I talk about, you know, what goes on around the country and everything. And, you know, I'm not as knowledgeable as a lot of other people are. But, you know, I try to put my 2 cents worth into, you know, this global society and everything. So Black by Color only. And the reason why I call it again is because I was born black, but my skin color doesn't matter. My principles do, you know. So we're not about, you know, the black man this and the black man that.
Amen. And so check out the program, and Karen, your website?
Yes, Liberty Advocate.
And you can go to Liberty Advocate and see Karen's article. She's got some great articles there. And I just want to tell the listeners, no, we do not have a prejudice against con men, and you say that small churches cannot survive without the tithe. Well, tithing is not a biblical teaching. I mean, if your pastor's teaching tithing, then bring him some groceries. That's the way it goes. Tithing is food. Churches can survive if you teach people how to give out of the love of their heart.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Churches
can
survive if you tell people the truth. I'm surviving, and God takes care of me, and I don't have to beat anybody over the head for money and beg, borrow, and steal. So if pastors can't live by faith, then they need to get out of the ministry.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to thank my guests. Thank you, Vincent, very much for coming on today. I enjoyed being with you. And Karen, thank you so much.
Yes, and I appreciate you, Karen, and Susan. You all are doing a good work, and keep on doing what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vincent.
God bless you. And for everybody out there, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, Jesus Christ said you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You can know the Savior Jesus Christ today, and he can give you a brand new life, a life with meaning, a life with joy and peace that you can't buy. You can ask Jesus Christ today to forgive you of your sins, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ will forgive you no matter what you've done or where you've been. He will forgive you and give you a brand new life. I know he's done it for me. He did it for Vincent. He did it for Karen. And the born-again experience is a real experience. So give your life to Jesus today. Ask him to come in. And he will. He'll give you a brand new life. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.